Church may be dismissed at this time if you haven't already slipped out. And did you all meet any guests with us today from Utica or near Utica? You didn't meet any guests? We're glad to have some guests with us today. And I got a phone call earlier this morning and asking for directions to the church, and I gave them, and he found it, so that's good. And all right, good to have other guests with us today as well, and thank you for visiting with us today. Before we open God's word to our message this morning, let's turn back to the book of Psalms and Psalm 19, but you can just open your Bibles. I have the words on the screen as well, but we'll be looking at Psalm 19, and so the words to verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 are here, and so let's sing them together this morning. And Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. If you have your Bibles opened up there to Psalm 19, let's read these verses again. Now you follow as I read. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In every one of these phrases, there is a name for God's word that's given. Then there is something that God's word will do, a cause. And then there is an effect. And so we see here the law of the Lord is perfect. And the effect, it will convert the soul. And then we see the testimony of the Lord is sure, and the effect, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the Lord are right, and the effect, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, and the effect, enlightening our eyes. Which brings us to verse 9 for our study this morning, and it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Father, as we again open your word, prepare our hearts to receive that which you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have followed this kind of uniform plan in each of these verses, as we have seen the name, as we have seen the attribute of the law, and then as we have seen the effect of the law. And we have just a little different phrasing here when we come to verse 9. We kind of have the effect here that's put for the cause. And in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. We might, again, rephrase that by saying the word of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And what does it do? Causing fear. We kind of have the effect at the beginning of this verse, but we've already, in our study together, kind of looked at this truth already. And so this morning, I want us to actually look at this verse 9 and see what the attribute is and remind ourselves of this attribute this morning. What is the attribute that the fear of the Lord is here? It endures forever. How long is forever? I used to try to illustrate it this way. I tried to make our life a dot in time. And then I would like to have you take that dot and start traveling to the east. And I want you to continually travel to the east. How long will you be able to travel to the east? Forever. Because you can go east, around the world, east, and east, and east, and east, and east, and east, and east. Forever is something that's foreign to all of us, isn't it? One of the truths that is difficult for our minds to comprehend, because we have finite minds and God is infinite. He has no limits. He has no boundaries. We have all kinds of boundaries, don't we? And we have all kinds of limits. Because everything we can experience or know about through our senses, pretty much, had a beginning and has an ending. So when we deal with the eternal, it's hard for us to grasp some of that truth, because to think of someone who never had a beginning, that's foreign, completely foreign to our experience. And then to think of that which will never have an ending is also foreign to our experience. But we know that God has certain attributes, and actually we are seeing several of his personal attributes given to us in relationship to his word. And that makes absolute sense to me, because God's word is just a revelation of himself to us. And so his word takes on the characteristics of that one who gave it. And so we've already looked that the law of the Lord is perfect. Is God perfect? Yes. And we've looked at the law of the Lord is sure. Is God sure? Yes. And the law of the Lord is right. It's righteous. Is God righteous? And the law of the Lord is pure. And this morning, the law of the Lord is clean, and it endures forever. That's because God endures forever. And so each of these characteristics are actually just extensions of God himself to us. And Paul said, again, about his word, that the word of God is not bound. In 2 Timothy 2:9, he said, it's not bound. It has no limits. It has no boundaries, limitations. And here when it says enduring forever, just as a reminder that it has no limits, it has no boundaries. One time when I was in college, I traveled on a college choir called the Madrigal and Handbell Choir. And one year we took a trip, and the trip, We were on a bus, a charter bus that the college had chartered, and the bus driver was only allowed to go a certain distance with the bus, and then he had to go back. And so we met at a certain location, and the company brought a second bus to us, and we had to change and take everything off the one bus and put on the other bus, get a new bus driver, because the new bus driver is going to take us on the rest of the way. And we found out that there was a group of students who had been snow skiing, kind of on a break from college, and they were going to get off the one bus that we were going to get on, and they were going to get on the bus we had just gotten off. And so guess what we decided to do? We decided to leave some gospel literature on every seat in that bus so that when these new students got on the bus, there would be some literature there for them to read in a long bus trip. And so we decided that we weren't going to have an opportunity to speak to them individually, but we thought, well, this is one way perhaps we can be a witness to them. You know what? The law of the Lord and the Word of God is that which endures forever, and that which we know, because it endures forever, it's alive, it's powerful. Do you know what I hope to see one day? I hope to see someone in heaven who picked up one of those tracts that we laid on a seat in that bus, and they will have trusted Christ as their Savior because we took the time to lay a gospel tract on that seat. I've prayed to that end, and I actually prayed to that end many times, and I think about that often. And then one other opportunity that I had when we, back in 2000, 16 years ago, my sons and I went to Australia to witness during the Olympics that were being held in Australia that year. And during the 17 days that we were there, we were part of a team, and we passed out over 500,000 pieces of gospel literature. A 500,000 pieces of gospel literature. And I have prayed often, I wonder how many people will be in heaven as a result of reading some of that literature. You know, I don't know where this statistics come from, but I have heard and read a statistic that every gospel tract averages out that 7 different people will read that piece of literature. Now, I'm not sure exactly how they get that information, but I'm assuming that it was accurate. If so, man, that 500,000 turned out to be 3.5 million, you know, who would read that piece of literature. And so the law of the Lord is, and the Word of God here is enduring forever, and it will produce results that last forever because it is not bound. It is not bound. God is infinite. His Word is infinite. God is omniscient, and His Word has no temporal boundaries. Isaiah said in Isaiah 42:9, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And then he said in Isaiah 40, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Every couple of years, one of the things we deal with here in our academy is that certain textbooks, especially in the realm of sciences, get updated. They get updated. Now, and so we have to then have the expenditure of buying all these new updated books rather than the books we... have any of you gone to a used bookstore and bought any kind of a textbook that was used 50, 60 years ago? You can probably get them for a quarter. Because, and why are they so inexpensive? Because a lot of the information is outdated. It's, some of it's even obsolete. Some of it has been proven to be wrong, and they've found and corrected it. Sometimes there's a first edition, second edition, third edition, fourth, fifth edition of a book because it keeps getting updated. Guess what will never be updated? God's Word. It endures forever. It doesn't need any updating because it doesn't need any corrections. It was perfect. We've already read about that earlier. And so man's works become obsolete. God's work endures forever. And political sciences and systems come and go. Social sciences are planned. They are revised. They are carried out. And then they fail a lot of times. And so we see that which man does coming to an end, but that which God does has no end, and his word is enduring forever. You know, I know a lot of great organizations that no longer exist. They come, they have a time, and for various reasons, they end. And someone, and I know a lot of great people who have lived and died. Here's a quote: "The great and the small soon pass from the womb to the tomb. We're born, we're busy, and then we're buried." A lot of religious systems have come and gone. Classic liberal theology is thankfully waning today. Neo-Orthodoxy and Karl Barth had the spotlight of the stage for a while, but they too are waning. Paul Tillich, with his whole philosophy, God is dead. Well, guess who's dead? Paul Tillich's dead. And God is alive and well today. Existentialism. And even parts of neo-evangelicalism are losing their grip. But what will never lose its grip, never lose its power, never change? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring, enduring forever. The Bible-believing Christian will find the Word of God to be relevant to every need of every generation. Do you know what it is that questions that? It's usually man's foolish pride that questions whether God's word is enduring forever. Man's pompous pride, man's so-called intellectualism seems insane to the angels as they look down here at hurried, harried, and haughty mankind. Man's foolish pride keeps man today from comprehending the enduring quality of God's word. James said, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And there are those today who call this book mythology. And there are those who call this book hypothetical fiction. We certainly understand it as historical fact and authentic, inerrant, authoritative today, because it endures forever. Listen to what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 1. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." But for the born-again Christian, we have not begun to worship the creator more, or creature more than the creator. We understand this in Romans 11. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to him whom be glory forever. Amen. We are going to be looking more in detail. We've just been giving some introductory messages on it, but we are going to be looking on Sunday nights in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And there's a verse there, verse 6, that tells us, but without faith it's impossible to please God, or please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How can we today even approach this book that endures forever, this book that's clean, this book that causes the fear of the Lord in our lives? How can we ever approach unto this book and understand its message? Well, the same way we approach unto God, we have to come by faith. And we approach the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we have to approach and put aside personal pride and allow our lives to fall under the authority and the scrutiny of the Word of God. This is not a science textbook today. But whenever it speaks about something scientific, it is 100% accurate. Because where did science come from? God, who made it all. And so when he writes about it, it is accurate. This is not a history book. But whenever it talks about anything historical, it is absolutely accurate. Archaeology continues to verify the accuracy of this book. Not too long ago, they were digging in Israel in a park, and they discovered a cave, and they went into that cave and they discovered an ossuary. How many of you know what an ossuary is? It is a bone box. It's a box that they take a person after his body has disintegrated down to nothing but bones. They gather them up and put them in the box. So it's a bone box. And oftentimes they will write on the end of the bone box whose bones they are. Not too long ago, they found the bones of Caiaphas. And then in a place in Caesarea, they were uncovering some ancient streets, and there was several who questioned whether there was ever really a historical figure around the time of Christ that lived by the name of Pilate. About the only verification that could be found was in God's Word. And they'd say, well, apart from the Bible, we've never heard of Pilate. While they were digging, they found a stone plaque on a street bed that said this street has been dedicated to Pontius Pilate. There was outside verification as to the historicity of Pontius Pilate. And so even though this is not a history book, everything it touches on historical is 100% accurate. Because this book endures forever. But of course, one wonderful verification of this book enduring forever is fulfilled prophecy. I love to study prophecy. And I actually have two or three subscriptions of prophetic magazines that I receive all the time. When I get one of them, I devour it from cover to cover. Do you know that hundreds and hundreds of prophecies have been literally fulfilled that were spoken of hundreds of years before they were fulfilled. And they've been fulfilled right to the letter. And I believe that prophecies are being fulfilled even as we speak today. And this morning in our Sunday school, we were studying some of the covenants, the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant and the land covenant. And what was the land covenant? It promised that even if the children of Israel were taken out of their land, what would happen? They would be brought back to that land. And guess what happened in our modern day time? Israel has been brought back to their land. Just as God promised, and just as the prophecy that was connected with that promise, just as the covenant spoke, the children of Israel were brought back to the land. And we believe that there were dozens and dozens of prophecies fulfilled concerning the life of Christ and his birth and his ministry and his death and his resurrection and his second coming. And today I stand with full assurance in my heart that all prophecy yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled accurately and literally as God gave it. But what does this whole book, this law of the Lord, this testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord that are spoken of here, what will they all, what is the main emphasis? Well, way back in the beginning of this 19th Psalm, it talked about the heavens declare the glory of God. And the Word of God declares the glory of God. And this book is God's book. And this book is about what God is doing and about what Christ is doing. And more than anything, we are thankful that this book has one prominent theme. And that is Jesus Christ himself, who is the living Word of God. What does John 1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then Matthew 5, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I send you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That fulfillment takes place in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. It's all going to be fulfilled. And so if you turn to the Pentateuch, if you turn to the book of Daniel, if you turn to the book of Isaiah, you're going to continue to learn about Christ, these Old Testament prophecies. The eternal Word of God, which endures forever, produces the effect of having us be able to meditate on the fact that God is sovereign over all time, over all events. He's sovereign over all eternity. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Let's pray. Lord, how wonderful to remember today that your word is eternal, that God is eternal, that Jesus Christ is eternal, and that we, as created beings, also have a part that is eternal, and that's our soul. And Lord, we know that according to your word, our soul will spend eternity either separated from God for eternal punishment in hell, or we will be united with God in heaven and will eternally worship and serve you and praise you. And Lord, we know that you have made provision through your Son so that we might enjoy eternal life rather than eternal death. And so I pray that each one here today might recognize the enduring quality, the eternal quality of God and his word, and that which his word teaches about our soul and how we can be prepared for eternity. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to just listen to one more illustration. You know, several years ago when I went to Australia for the Olympics, at New Year's of that same year, when they lighted up the bridge that goes across the bay in Australia there in Sydney, the harbor, they had the word eternity on the bridge. It was a very unusual thing. The word eternity that they lighted up for the new year. And what that whole thing was about, it was remembering the life of a man who had a very huge impact upon many in Australia. This man was an uneducated man. This man was a man who lived on the streets, had a very wicked life. And one day he wandered into the equivalent of a rescue mission, heard the gospel, heard about Christ, went into a local little cemetery and there bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. A few weeks later, he found himself in a church service under an evangelist who was preaching. An evangelist said this, "If I could, I would shout the word eternity from every street corner in Sydney." That man, who could neither read nor write, he could not even write his own name, went out with a piece of chalk and wrote in perfect cursive letters the word eternity on the sidewalk. And over the next several years, he wrote that word hundreds and hundreds of times. And many people were brought to Christ just having read the word eternity and being challenged to be prepared for eternity. And for many, many years, they didn't have any idea who was doing it. I would, like this man, want to warn you this morning that there is an eternity. And we have to be ready for eternity. If you are not ready for eternity, may I urge you today to make sure you are ready. And the only way to be ready is to have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the fact that your word today endures forever. It is settled and sure. And we can trust its message. It's an eternal message. And we can trust the Savior that's presented here. He is an eternal Savior. Lord, if there's one here tonight or this morning that does not know Christ, I pray that today would be the day that they would prepare for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.